friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The 12th All-African Games are scheduled to begin Monday, August 19th in Rabat, Morocco. King Mohammed VI will officially open the games, which go through August 31st. The main venue for the African Games will be the Prince Moulay Abdallah Stadium, which has a seating capacity of 53,000. The stadium is where athletics and the opening and closing ceremonies will take place. Nigeria finished runner-up to first-place Egypt on the 2015 African Games medal table. The Nigerians won 144 medals in Congo Brazzaville, 47 gold, 55 silver, and 42 bronze. The Egyptians dominated the Africa Games medal table, tallying 217 medals total 4 years ago, 85 gold, 64 silver, and 68 bronze. I'm sure both Egypt and Nigeria will be looking to win more medals in Morocco. Nigeria is sending more than 400 athletes, coaches, and other officials to Rabat, and some already are in Morocco. To find out more, Iron Mike Imbonye reached the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Youth and Sports in Nigeria, Olusade Adesola.
We have 308 athletes. We have 58 coaches. Coaches are not the only officials. Coaches are mainly officials of athletes. We have the paramedics, medical officers, chief de mission, and those other officials that will also still be in the games relief. So in the games relief, we have 58 other officials outside the coaches. We also have the president of the federation, the secretaries that will be there. So as to athletes, 308 athletes, the coaches, 58 coaches, other officials in the games relief, 58.
How many events will Team Nigeria participate at the All African Games?
We have 22 sporting events. If I can list them for you.
Go ahead, sir.
We have athletics, badminton, basketball, beach volleyball, boxing, canoe kayak, chess, cycling, football, gymnastics, handball, judo, karate, rowing, shooting, swimming, table tennis, taekwondo, tennis, volleyball, indoor, weightlifting, and wrestling. For instance, in wrestling, we have the Greco-Roman wrestling and we have the freestyle wrestling. These are the 22 sports that we are going to official.
What are the expectations of Team Nigeria at the Rabat Games?
We did a strategic review of our preparations. We engage extensively with the athletes. They are not going to Rabat to earn a living. They are going to Rabat to build their cathedrals. That is, they are going there to make impression and to build a record for themselves. So Nigeria is preparing to win, just like any other country. But we are really working hard to win.
When will Team Nigeria depart for Rabat?
The departure is in phases. As I speak with you now, the beach volleyball have arrived. The football will be arriving, then judo too had arrived. So three teams departed Nigeria already. Then the first major batch will depart on 16 August, that's Friday. Then the second batch will depart on the 21st of August.
What message do you have for Nigerians on Team Nigeria's outing in the Rabat All Africa Games?
Yes, for sports, we need a lot of support. We call on Nigeria to support the Team Nigeria, either through their visits to Morocco, to cheer them up at the various sporting events, or through their good wishes and prayers to support them and to pray for injury-free participation. We believe that with this massive support, the athletes are committed to excel.
That's Olusade Adesola, the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Youth and Sports in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Imbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
Two-time National Basketball Association All-Star Luol Deng recently returned to South Sudan to help grow his charitable foundation. Sheila Pony reports from Juba, South Sudan.
Luol Deng visited the land of his birth, present-day South Sudan, at the Manute ball court that his foundation built. He encouraged young players and talked to reporters about the game.
It's also a tool to take kids off the streets, but also occupy them with teamwork, teach them, you know, how to work together, how to communicate. It's really more than a sport.
Deng and his family flee Sudan's civil war and went to Egypt. There, Deng met former NBA center and South Sudanese humanitarian activist Manute Bol, who taught him to play basketball. In 2015, the Luol Deng Foundation opened the Manute Bol Court in Juba in memory of Bol, who died in 2010.
I also wanted to dedicate a court after Manute Bol for everything that he's done for the country. And I think that his legacy should always be remembered.
The foundation works with the United Nations Refugee Agency and NBA Africa to build outdoor basketball courts that bring communities together. The courts and Deng's example inspire young South Sudanese players like Sayed Abraham.
There are some players getting a scholarship like to Europe, America, because of the game they're playing.
She's born in the ball.
But Deng told reporters that his foundation is about more than just basketball.
We do a lot of other things. For example, we have 10 doctors that we send every year. We've been doing it for 5 years now. They perform surgeries all over South Sudan.
Juma Stephen Luga is the Minister of Youth and Sport for Jubek State. He says Deng's charity work is invaluable.
What Luol is doing actually is very great and appreciated, because it's bringing hope for our youth and the teenagers.
Deng is a two-time NBA All-Star who joined the Chicago Bulls in 2004. He played his last game for the Minnesota Timberwolves in 2018. He says plans for South Sudan include building a basketball academy and including more girls in the program. Sheila Pony for VOA News, Juba.
Thanks, Sheila. The new Basketball Africa League, or BAL, is scheduled to tip off in about 5 months. Amadou Gallo Fall is the first president of the BAL. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as I ask Amadou, what will be your primary duties as the BAL president?
We're going to build on our work at NBA Africa, really build the organization from scratch in 2010 with the goal of really making the game of basketball accessible, to make the sport relevant, to grow participation in youth. And I think we've covered a lot of ground in that space. The popularity of basketball on the continent is at an all-time high. All the milestones that we've had over the close to a decade now, we are going to build on those milestones, from all the junior NBA leagues that we've launched to the NBA Academy Africa, to having hosted 3 NBA Africa games in the last 4 years. I think the Basketball Africa League was the logical next step in the growth of our sport and the NBA business on the continent. So yes, I will be focusing first on building a strong team to really get on with the opportunity. I'm extremely excited because of what I'm convinced the Basketball Africa League can become. So we will be building a professional basketball league, working with our partner FIBA across 12 different countries. And that's what I'm excited about. Certainly, you know, with just the link and the transition from all our grassroots activities to now seeing it all play out at the elite level with this professional league.
The Basketball Africa League scheduled to tip off in 2020. Do you have a specific date in mind, and where will the 12 African teams be based?
Yeah, we will tip off in late January 2020. Regular season games will start very early in March, and the league will run from essentially January to May, culminating in a Final Four. So we will start the inaugural season with 12 teams. And out of those 12, we have predetermined six of those 12. And I can tell you those are Senegal, Angola, Nigeria, Egypt, Tunisia, and Morocco. And the other six will come from qualifying tournaments.
Amadou, do you think the new Basketball Africa League will produce more African players for the NBA?
I think the work of the NBA in Africa is going to continue to impact the number of African players in our league, particularly with the launch of NBA Academy Africa. You know, now that we had an intentional approach in terms of going out and identifying talent, bringing this talent to the NBA Academy Africa facility in Sali, and training them. So, you know, the NBA Africa League, sorry, the Basketball Africa League, first and foremost, will be a platform to, you know, allow this talent to flourish, to gain playing experience, playing in front of home fans. Certainly, you know, the best players will always desire to play in the best league in the world, in which is the NBA. So, yes, this is going to have an impact, but I just want to make sure that we understand that this is not, the Basketball Africa League is not set up as just a stepping stone. You know, it is going to be something that we want to, you know, develop to stand in its own right to be, one of the top leagues, top basketball leagues in the world before it is all said and done. So, yes, I think the more young players have an opportunity to compete at the high level, the better they become as players. And the best players in the world play in the NBA, want to play in the NBA. So our players in the Basketball Africa League are going to have aspirations to play someday in the league. But, you know, at first, we want to make sure that we provide them with the tools and the enabling environment, to focus their energy in being the best players in one of the best leagues in the world, the Basketball Africa League, to come.
Amadou, can you talk about how the NBA and FIBA, the International Basketball Federation, will support the Basketball Africa League? Is it an equal partnership between those two organizations?
Our goal in Africa from day one, when we launched from the Africa, it was really to build towards creating a holistic ecosystem for our sport, developing, increasing participation in the game, which will lead to elite talent emerging, nurturing the talent at the academy, and hosting marquee events like the NBA Africa Games, and now the Basketball Africa League at the top of this pyramid. Along those lines, we've worked with FIBA in all our grassroots activities, including Junior NBA. We work with national federations and different countries in identifying young players for our annual Basketball Without Borders Africa Camp. So I think just partnering now on the Basketball Africa League is a natural progression. So FIBA is going to continue to focus on developing the sport from an administration standpoint. You know, the partnership is going to afford FIBA the resources to continue to invest in building capacity in these basketball federations. And also the level of the local league is going to benefit from it, is going to improve because the conditions that we will set up, teams are going to be incentivized to want to win their local league and participate in the Basketball Africa League. So we're very excited about really deepening our links and partnership with FIBA in the Basketball Africa League showcase that is going to kick off early 2020.
Finally, Amadou, you played your college basketball right here in Washington, and I know the Firebirds of the University of the District of Columbia still ignite a few memories for you. Amadou, what's your best memory from your playing days?
Look, first of all, I'm very grateful for the University of the District of Columbia and Patricia Thomas there, the athletic director, for inducting me into the Athletic Hall of Fame. I am looking forward to being able to participate in the ceremony in 2020. I wasn't able to go this year because of, you know, it was right in the middle of All-Star weekend. But very proud of it. You know, had a wonderful experience there. Obviously, playing Georgetown a couple of years, there was a highlight, especially the first one, because I had just gotten in the country. I had no idea, you know, when I walked across campus and the students are asking me, are you ready for December? And I had no idea who this guy was. And they would go, are you ready for Alonzo? And I had no idea who he was either. But when we step on the court and, you know, played a few minutes, I definitely understood why they were asking me those questions. So, you know, it was really meeting Coach John Thompson, playing against him, to me, really the highlight of, you know, and really in some ways the beginning of, you know, everything that happened from there, because he took me under his wing, was a great mentor, a great man. So, yes, and, you know, he was friends with my coach at the time, George Lefkowitz. They played together, I think, at Archbishop Carroll. Coach John Thompson, that we salute and we give credit for, you know, all the great things that have happened, that continue to happen for me and many other players from Africa. Again, you know, we are humbled and grateful and looking forward to visiting D.C. soon again.
Amadou Gallo-Fall, the new president of the Basketball Africa League, speaking with us from Johannesburg, South Africa. Amadou, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sonny. I appreciate your interest.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. In results Tuesday at the Women's Afrobasket Tournament in Senegal, the host Senegalese routed Egypt 85-47. The Senegalese women will now prepare for a quarterfinal game on Thursday against Angola. Nigeria is also through to the quarterfinals at the Afrobasket Tournament, the first step in qualification for next year's Olympic women's basketball competition in Tokyo. The Nigerian women crush Cameroon on Tuesday, 106-39. In two more results from Tuesday, Mali defeated the Democratic Republic of Congo, 82-56. And Mozambique beat Cape Verde 60-51. Mali and Mozambique also advanced to the quarterfinals in Senegal. Mongolia's most famous horse festival is being celebrated across the country, but in the background, rights groups are concerned about the rise of performance-enhancing drugs, harsh handling of horses, and lax enforcement of safety protections for child jockeys. More than 10,000 children participate in nearly 400 horse races nationwide in Mongolia. And according to Mongolia's National Traumatology and Orthopedics Research, an average of 600 child jockeys are thrown from their horse, and in 2017, 169 were killed. Libby Hogan reports from the Gobi Desert in Mongolia.
Most 7-year-old children might enjoy summer holidays playing games, but not Namun. Every morning she's up early saddling her horse for training. Growing up on the edge of the Gobi Desert in a nomadic family, Namun must work as a jockey, riding in Mongolia's biggest horse racing event, the Nadam.
When I was 5, I started to ride horses and I have been racing now for 4 years. My father trains the horses and I am the jockey to race them.
Mongolian courts have banned child riders from racing in winter and spring races in response to the high number of deaths and injuries recorded each year. But most horse racing families continue to swing child jockeys back up into the saddle, despite the new regulations introduced in 2016.
When the kids are jockeys, it is good for their health, their exercise. It is a national tradition. Namun didn't have any accidents so far, but when she races, I always worry.
If galloping for 25 kilometres isn't dangerous enough, the growing use of performance-enhancing drugs for racehorses is also prompting outrage. Rights groups have slammed horse trainers for putting children's lives even more at risk. Retired events organisers are worried the traditional Nadam festival is now turning into a business, pushing horses and child jockeys to the limits.
I've trained racing horses since the 1970s. We used to start early with preparation, giving them extra feed to make them strong. Now the rules aren't strict and everything is becoming easier and about the prize money.
With regulations poorly enforced and perpetrators of child fatalities rarely punished, the fate of improving horse racing standards are slim. For Namun, she says she will continue racing as it makes her family happy.
My family is so glad when I race, especially my brother. When I win, my brother is so glad and proud of me.
Libby Hogan for Voice of America News, Sakhan Uvu Village, Gobi Desert, Mongolia.
Thanks, Libby. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football news, the Ghanaian Celis Tete is taking over as Sierra Leone's head coach for a second time. The 62-year-old Tete's appointment comes 4 years after he was first given the same job on a temporary basis. Tete has also coached Rwanda's national team, and he has extensive coaching experience in Ghana. One of his biggest achievements there was winning the 2009 Under-20 World Cup. With Sierra Leone, Tete is tasked with leading the team's qualification campaigns for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon and the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. On the World Cup front, Sierra Leone is scheduled to play host Liberia on March 4th, 2020, in a 2022 World Cup preliminary round qualifying match. The game in Monrovia will mark Sierra Leone's return to international football after their suspension was lifted by FIFA in June. And that wraps up the August 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll have an in-depth discussion on child marriage and how girls are valued around the world. Married teenage girls are often physically abused and forced into lives of chores and childbearing. The Worth of a Girl on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
According to the Migraine Research Foundation, migraines are an extraordinarily prevalent neurological disease affecting 1 billion people worldwide. To many who suffer from migraines, they are more than just a bad headache. A migraine attack can last anywhere from 4 to 72 hours, and for many can be accompanied by other symptoms such as vision difficulty, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and sensitivity to sound, light, touch, and smell. Factors like the weather, sleep disturbances, hormonal changes, stress, certain medications, and foods or beverages have been known to trigger a migraine attack. Researchers at three Boston medical institutions have released a new study that suggests a link between drinking three or more caffeinated beverages a day with a migraine attack. They also found drinking one or two caffeinated beverages a day did not set off a migraine. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA.